Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. The Bible tells us here, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. We're going to talk a little more about this, of how we must walk in the Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time to open your word. I do pray that you would speak to us through the scriptures. I pray that you'd help us, each one, to walk in submission to you, that we might be filled with the Spirit, that we might do your will, that we might have victory. Lord, we thank you for this. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We must walk in the Spirit. This is essential to our Christian life. Without God's help, we cannot live the Christian life. We talked here last week about pressing on in this new year, a season to press on, how we need to follow Jesus, and how we need to be anticipating His coming and zealous of good works. But my friend, if we attempt to live the Christian life in our own strength, by self-determination, we will fall flat on our face. We will come up so short. You know, it's been a busy past week. In fact, a busy past 2 weeks. I remember a Monday morning, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, at 2:30 in the morning, rolling out of bed. We had received over the weekend 12 inches or more of snow. And I needed to get an early start to get businesses cleaned out in our community here, and to start on apartment buildings and residential properties, trying to get to as many as possible in good timing that morning. And so starting at 2:30 was important. And I headed out in my 25-horsepower John Deere tractor and headed out there having prepared the tractor the day before. You know, make sure fuel is full, make sure oil is checked, and all those kind of details. And headed out that early morning, and a beautiful morning it was, and lots of snow, and they're using the blower a lot, and place after place, trying to do a quick job to open places up, and just hitting it hard with the blower, and the engine roaring, moving thousands of pounds of snow even in any given minute. Working hard, and windshield wipers going, and trying to keep the windows defrosted, and all those types of deals, as there was some wind blowing and causing snow to blow around, yet some snowing at that early morning yet. In those sub-zero temperatures, I was out cleaning a property now. Several hours had gone by. In fact, I think it was around 7 a.m., the sun was still not up, and I was warm. I was toasty in the cab of the tractor, and the zero temperatures, the below zero temperatures were not harming me or hurting me in any way. I was getting from place to place and doing quite well. I was on a rural property that's just a quarter mile out of town, and not far, just far enough that you don't want to go any farther out of town on driving a small tractor like that on the highway, and especially with blowing snow and all that. But I was there, and I was cleaning this rural place, little bigger driveway, just blowing that snow off that driveway, that foot or more, and some bigger drifts, and moving that snow was just, it's great to be able to just work that, and in 10 minutes time you've opened up somebody's yard. Great feeling, in that sense. And I'm going along, and I'm getting to the end of this project on this particular residence, and all of a sudden the tractor, without warning, just quits. Boom. Nothing. Just dies. Well, I turned the key off and thought, what happened? I looked around. I didn't, I thought, well, I'll try starting it, So I turned the key and waited for the glow plugs, which run, and then gave her gave her a go, and it went blah, 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 blah. Nothing. I thought, well, that is really weird. Now, what has happened? Did my fuel freeze? I know I had winter fuel in here. And I get out, and I begin to look around, make sure there's nothing leaking, make sure. And I'm looking around. Of course, it's dark. And I used my light on my cap that I got for Christmas, on my hat, and I turn that on. I'm looking around and trying to see what the problem is. It's cold and well below zero air temperatures and even worse wind chills. And as I investigate, I cannot find anything. I've opened the hood. I'm looking if the tractor has ingested snow into the air cleaner or something of this nature that has caused it to be clogged. That was not the problem. I could not see an issue there, and I tried to start it again. At this point, I was sure I hadn't run out of fuel. I mean, good grief, it's still dark. It's 7 in the morning. But that was the next thing I checked. My fuel gauge, and it's a little bit obscure in this tractor. It's not on the dash. It's down lower, and you almost have to open the door to see it because I have a seat there for my kids to ride, so it's a little harder even than factory. And so I look there, and sure enough, it's below empty. You know, when that gauge has passed the E, and it's just all the way drained. You know, that tractor is as warm as it had been. Granted, it's cold by now. As warm as it had been, and as powerful, and as many thousands of pounds of snow, tens of thousands, perhaps even 100,000, it had moved that morning. It was going nowhere and doing nothing. Because it had no power, no fuel. The motor was there, the starter to crank it over, all of those things, all those components were functioning fine. There was oil in the crankcase to keep things harmonious in operations, but there was no power. No power in the sense of the fuel that is vital to that engine running and accomplishing those important tasks. And so I sat there and waited for someone to bring me fuel. And the weather got worse in that time, and it was almost blizzard conditions at this point. And I waited there, and it was probably an hour of just sitting there. There's nothing I could do. Just wait. I stayed warm there in the cab for the most part, but it did get cold. I mean, it was cold. I was dressed for it, so that was good. But, you know, without God's power in our Christian life, we will just fall flat on our face. We cannot do the will of God. Jesus describes it in John 15 as a vine, who he is, and the branches, who we are. We are the branches. He is the vine. And the Father is the farmer. He's the caretaker. And you know what? Without the branch being connected to the vine, it's doing nothing. It's going nowhere. It's not accomplishing God's will in any way. We cannot have victory over sin. We cannot do the work of the Christian life. We cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit's power, without the power of God in our life, filling us, helping us, controlling us, enabling us. Without that, we are like that tractor. Yes, saved, perhaps. You know, I mean, if we're a Christian, obviously saved. We know Christ, but still, we need him to live the Christian life. We don't just need Jesus to die on the cross so that we can get saved. Absolutely, we need that. We can't save ourselves. It's his righteousness that pays, that is our righteousness now imputed. That is essential. But you know, the fact of the matter is, a saved person, we need God. We can have the motor. We can have all of the good intentions of a starter that's going to be that determination to get it going and do it, you know, but without the fuel, nothing will happen. Nothing will be accomplished. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. we must walk in the Spirit. We need that power to fill us. Notice Ephesians 5 here, verse number 18. The Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We are instructed here to not ingest, to take in and be intoxicated with this alcoholic drink, because bad things happen. Corrupt things happen. It's given to the extremes and to the flesh and sinful things. But we are instructed, though not to be controlled by alcohol, though not to be filled with alcohol, we are instructed to be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. You see this idea of being filled with the Spirit is something we should probably take a moment to define. What does that mean? Well, first of all, some of the thoughts for the message today came from a question from one of our listeners online that tunes into our services at times, and they texted me and asked a question, and they described a situation in their life where they felt quite frustrated and defeated, to wherein they felt like they kind of just had to hope that God would help them. Hope, and they used the words talking about the filling of the Spirit, that it wasn't something you could, you know, you just had to kind of hope God would fill you. And but yet at the same time, they found themselves so lacking in the power they needed to do right. And so I tried to address that in communications there directly with them. But and I appreciate questions like that. It's great to have some interaction, and there's always contact information below in the description if you're tuning in online, and or here. Always enjoy questions and interaction, that we can grow together. But you know what? I explained these things, and I'll take a moment here to consider that when a person trusts Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. It's a guarantee. It's a something of the New Testament era, that is the promise of God, that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we get the Holy Spirit right then and there. There's no delay. There's no wait and see. When you trust Jesus by simple faith, simple childlike faith, you get the Holy Spirit. He moves in to our very being. And there's a number of different passages that could reinforce that truth for us. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 are some great chapters that we could read. But let's notice here in John 16, if you would. John 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Howbeit when he," this is Jesus talking, "howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." Here we have Jesus talking to us about the Holy Spirit and how he will come and guide us and be our teacher. And notice now back to verse 7. Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, you know, I'm going to have to go away. And it's important for you that I do go away, because when I go away, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient." This is very important for you, that I go away. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And he's going to come and into our lives. Notice also back here in chapter 14, verse 17. Well, let's begin with verse 16. Chapter 14 of John and verse 16. "And I will pray the Father," Jesus says, "and he shall give you another Comforter." Jesus, again, talking about, I'm going to be going away, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, here with the name, the Comforter, the Paraclete, in the Greek, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to aid, comes along to help. This comforter was going to abide with us forever. Forever, even, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 40 days after Jesus ascended back to heaven was the day of Pentecost. And as Jesus ascended back to heaven, they waited there on the day of Pentecost, and Acts chapter 1 and 2 records how the Holy Spirit came. How the Holy Spirit came and indwelt believers. And we, in this New Testament era, since that time of Pentecost, every time someone gets saved, every time a sinner trusts Jesus, they get the Holy Spirit of God indwelling their very being. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is a blessing to know that we are his child, his Spirit dwelling in us, bearing witness with our spirit. And so we get the Holy Spirit, all right? He is in our life. He is in our car, if we could illustrate it that way. But you know what? He's not in the driver's seat. And frankly, he never takes the driver's seat. It's your life. Now, our life is wrapped up in Christ. He is our life. Yes, and all that. But the fact of the matter is it's not a passive thing. It's not a, you know, give your life to Jesus, submit to Jesus, and he just takes over and you just float along the Christian life. No, it's active submission to God. He's with you. But we have to submit to obey. We have to submit to his leadership. He'll say, turn here. He'll say, slow down. He'll say, stop here. He'll give us those, and of course those are just illustrative types of instructions, but God gives us those gentle nudges, that teaching, that guidance, that helping us understand the scriptures and know his will. And as we say, yes, Lord, as we yield to him, as we surrender our wills to his, he guides our car. He guides our life. But we have an active role in obeying, in submission. That illustration is perhaps not, you know, the most perfect illustration in that sense. But I want you to communicate that, the activeness of walking in the Spirit and having God's power in our life. When we get saved, we have him. But now it is for us to listen to him so that we might receive what he's teaching, so that we might follow his direction. Because if we're, yes, we can be saved, he can be in our life, in our car, quote unquote, but we don't have to listen to him. And many times, sadly, we grieve him. He says, do this, and we say, I'm going this way. He says, don't listen to that. And we say, yeah, but I like it. He says, turn that off. And we say, and maybe we don't say this verbally, you know, openly. But you know, the fact of the matter is, in our heart, the resistance many times is there. Instead of submission, instead of saying, yes, Lord. Now, for a better illustration of this is not so much you in the driver's seat and the Holy Spirit in our life as a passenger, because that has its flaws. But Jesus gave this kind of illustration. of being yoked together. Yoked together. We find it in Matthew 11. And let's turn over there to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Yoked with Jesus. We'll begin with verse 28. Matthew 11, Jesus speaking, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites all those who are weary, all those who are burdened down, all those who feel so hopeless and so distraught, so discouraged. He says, "Come to me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke." Now, a yoke is something that connected two burden bearers together. Two oxen or something of that nature, they would be yoked together so that they might pull the load together. Be it a cart, be it some kind of a plowing system. Whatever the case, these oxen would be yoked together. They are connected together with a burden to bear together. And this is an illustration of how the Christian life is to be lived and how we can have victory and how we can do the will of God is when we are shouldering it together with God. The Holy Spirit of God helping us, uniting with us here in carrying the burden, in doing His will in this world. Now, two oxen yoked together will not get much done if they are not in unity. If they are not cooperating, they can be causing such problems if they are not in unity. Because it's almost worse. If there's not unity in a yoke of oxen, it's worse than just having one beast by itself to bear a load. Because there's that struggle and that fight and that resistance. And sometimes I'm afraid we too often are hard-headed and live the Christian life like that, resisting the one who loves us. Resisting and not being attentive to His direction. May God help us to get on board with His mission. Active participants, active in doing His will, cooperating as He leads us and guides us. Now, many times, as I understand, in a yoke, there's one of those animals that maybe takes a little bit of a lead, and the other one needs to support that. Support that. Go together. They have to work together. And no doubt it is God in this yoke with Jesus. It is God who is the one who should be taking that lead, the one who ought to take that lead, the one who must take that lead. And we must cooperate. Submission, the very word submission, is about getting under someone else's mission. Submission, and we need to get in line with God's mission. And as we do, we can see His victory in our life. Verse 29, as we have Matthew 11 open, Jesus continues and says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When we live the Christian life yoked with Jesus, the burdens are lighter. As we pull together, as we shoulder the load, it's easy. That's what He says. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, yoked with Jesus. This is essential. And so we must walk in the Spirit. This is the way to do the will of God. This is the way to have victory. And so this individual that asked the question here about how they felt so frustrated that they seemed to lack God's power and weren't sure how to get it and felt like it was something you just had to wait for when God just said, okay, I'm going to give you the power to do. And that's not the case. We don't have to sit and wait for God's power. We need to get in our place. Take my yoke, he says. Take my yoke upon you. You see, if we're not submitted in our heart, if we're resisting in areas of our life, we're going to lack that power. We're going to be defeated. But as we cultivate and as we communicate with God and we say, Lord, is there anything? What is hindering my effectiveness? What is hindering? And as we seek God, we can work through those things and see His power. We started off with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, which gives us the command, not the suggestion, not just the opportunity, but the command. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. We are commanded to do it. By God's grace, let us do it. Let us submit to His yoke. Let us bear the burden of the Christian life in the sense of doing His will, whatever the hardship, whatever the challenge. Maybe it's loving your enemy and you say, I can't love that person. They did me wrong. They hurt me deeply. Hey, what are you doing? You're saying, God, I don't want to do what you've asked. Where God says, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Those who've wronged you. Love them. So what should we say? Oh, Lord, with your help, what would you like me to do to show kindness, love, compassion to this person who's hurt me? You see, we find ourselves too often resisting what God wants. Sometimes we find ourselves behaving so fleshly with anger, with frustration, with these things. It's a sign that we're not cooperating in this yoke. We're trying to do our own thing. Jesus doesn't lead us to frustration. Jesus doesn't lead us to think ill of someone else. Jesus doesn't lead us to be hopeless. Jesus doesn't lead us to indulge the lusts of the flesh. No, He doesn't. He always leads us away from those things. And if we follow His lead, we will find the way of victory and blessing. Abide in me, He says in John 15, and you will bring forth fruit. We can be fruit-bearing Christians. The power of God is available to live the Christian life. We started off thinking about, yes, indeed, everyone who trusts Christ gets the Holy Spirit. He's in our life. But we must submit to Him. Just because He dwells within doesn't mean we're following His leadership. Doesn't mean we're submitting to His strength. Let us be strong in the Lord. Let us live for Jesus in God's power. For without it, we cannot do His will. But with it, we can. Are you living the Christian life, cooperating in a yoke with Jesus? In a yoke with Jesus. It's not enough to just be saved. It's not enough to just have that engine, to have that determination of maybe the starter, illustrating such. It's not enough for us to just have those components in place. We've got to have the power of God in our tank, as it were, so that we can do the work of God. This is essential. We must walk in the Spirit. Are you submitting in that yoke, allowing him to lead, actively participating in obedience to God. If not, you can. If you've erred from the path, you can get right. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can get right when we get honest. When we get honest with God, get honest about our sin, we can get right, we can get on back on track, but restore fellowship with God, and we can do the will of God. Maybe it is someone's not saved. You've never trusted Jesus. Friend, you'll never be able to live the Christian life as a lost person. You can try to keep a set of rules on your checklist. There'll be no joy. There'll be no peace. You need Jesus. He is the life of the Christian life.